As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside us, and we are all God's temple. But it's just great to be with other Christians. We're meant to encourage and strengthen each other, to build each other up, bear each other's burdens, and just be there for each other. God did not meant for us to be alone. That's why he created, you know, the church. We're here for each other. We're the bride of Christ, but we're not only here for him, but we're here for each other. So, at any rate, I'm Ed Hader. I'm the ministry, I don't even know what I am. I'm the connection group guy. I'm the guy that's trying to get you into a class to help disciple you. I'm a little out of sorts and nervous because this is not my normal territory, but I just, before we do anything else, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. I'm just so grateful for all these people here, my brothers, my sisters, visitors. All we ask for is an opportunity to serve you, Lord. And you present that. You present that every single day. And this opportunity, Lord, I pray that you, that your Holy Spirit just flow through me, that my words would become your words, that I wouldn't even be here, but that it would be you speaking your truth, the message that gives them what they need, that give them receptive hearts, Father, and open up their eyes to the message that you brought to me to teach and to tell them. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so last week, Pastor Kevin was preaching on just basically making sure, I mean, you need to be absolutely positive that the foundation of your salvation is Jesus. And that's it, but bar none. There's nothing else. Amen. And I believe that a lot of times, because I grew up in the Baptist church, we get this feeling like, yeah, we've got this rule list that we're supposed to do. You know, we've got the Ten Commandments, and we've got these stories that they tell us all the time, and it's ingrained in us, but it needs to take root. It needs to become alive. The Word of God is not just ink and paper. It's not just words. The Word of God is, it's God. And Jesus is the living embodiment of the Word of God. And it's really one of those mysteries of God to understand that all of this is in this Bible is actually Jesus in the flesh. That the truth that's in there's not one word that's not true. And if one word was not true, then that would be a lie. So this is absolutely true. It is a foundation. The Word is Jesus. The Word is our foundation. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the only thing we can build our salvation upon. There's nothing else. There's no other way. And even growing up, when I was a teen, it never quite clicked. You know, I was always, yeah, I said the prayer, and I did my thing, and I'm here, and I know I'm covered. But really, I was always looking for my way out. You know, I was looking for, I can follow these commandments, but there am I, you know, when nobody's looking, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not living for Jesus. You know, I'm playing church. You know, and it's almost like we teach our children to do that. And I grew up kind of doing that. You know, and you put on the nice clothes and you go to church and you put on this image and everybody says, "Oh, look at that guy. He's that's a good one right there." But then when I go home, well, you don't see. Because Jesus needs to be inside of us. So I want to really quickly recap Pastor Kevin's message, because it's really the most important message you'll ever hear, really, that to make Jesus the foundation of your salvation, all right? And last week, Pastor Kevin spoke on building your house upon the rock, the solid foundation, or You build your house upon the sand. And the sand is anything else that's not Jesus. You've got the rock, and that is, I mean, in the building trade, you need a solid foundation. As he spoke, if you build it on sand, that sand is moving and shifting all over the place. It's going to be a disaster. You've got cracks all over the place that eventually, it says right there, that house will come down with a collapse. And that's the end of your life. The destruction that you find, that I built my life, my salvation, upon something that was not Jesus. And that can be anything. That can be, you know, a career. In our, right here, this congregation, the great danger and fear is that we build it upon religion. That we build it upon, I did this, I did that. And the part I really struggled with this message was because I know that I can speak eloquently, say all the right words, but unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, it's pointless. It doesn't become alive. The Word has to become alive within you to become a living thing, to become the Holy Spirit inside you. As I sat here last week, I sat right there in the third row, and while I'm listening, it's a strange thing. God kind of gave me the whole message for this week. It just was like the whole structure written right out. And I struggled all week long because in that moment I knew that the Holy Spirit was guiding me and telling me I needed to teach this message. And of course I didn't want to, you know, who wants to be up here? But I don't know how he does it every week, but we got a great pastor in fact, we've got a great church. We've got just, every time you come in here, you got people serving, and they're just, you know, you come on, the heat's here, everything's ready, and it's just, it's all the behind-the-scenes people, and you know, the music, they're always playing, they practice a lot. It's just, everybody does a great job, and I just want to thank you for doing all of that. It's just part of the church community. So, what I want to teach on here today is not just building your salvation upon Jesus, but building your life upon Jesus. It just tags right along with the salvation, because a lot of times we pound the salvation part, but then what do you do? What do you do after salvation? That's the start. That's, you become a new creature, a new creation. You are now a child of God. But you need that foundation. Now let's get that. You need that first. But when you get to that point, what do? Do you just follow 10 commandments? No, because Jesus actually freed you from the weight of the law. The law convicts you. The law is what tells you that you sinned. The law is what lets you know that you messed up. You've come short of the glory of God. That's what the law does. And it is a holy law. And when we break that law, there's justice that has to be done. What Jesus did was he actually freed us from the weight of the law as well. The weight that bears down on us, that there's a perfect standard that we will never attain. We have a sin nature. We have this corrupt flesh, you know. I have all these desires, that things I want to do that are not godly. They're not right. And I know that. And so the only way that I can live, and the only way we can live, is to live for Jesus. Not live for the law, but live for Jesus, to remain in Jesus. So if you would read with me this passage of John chapter 15, and verses 1 through 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, I am the true vine, Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. The branches are us. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes And that gets a little prickly. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So now, what is he talking about here? That we need to remain in him, that we are connected as a branch. Now, the example he gives is, he is the vine and we are the branches. A branch by itself can do nothing, but when it's connected to the vine, to the source, it can grow, it can flourish, it can bear fruit. And the fruit is the example of what proves that we're Christians, that we are Christ-like. Because in another part of the Bible, he says, a fig tree cannot grow a different kind of fruit. It has to grow figs. And so if you remain in Jesus, you're going to grow godly fruit. Now, if you remain in the world, you're going to have all kinds of corruption. You're going to have all kinds of sin. That's your fruit. Sin can be a fruit. It's a rotten and disgusting fruit, but it's a fruit. And it can grow and flourish and corrupt other things. It's a path. It's the path that leads to God through Jesus, and we can impact so many people and do so many things, but only if the Holy Spirit goes through us. You know, you've got a vine, and then you've got branches, and everything that the vine provides to the branches allows you to grow and flourish and just throw out just godly fruit. So we must remain in Jesus. We no longer walk alone. We have the Holy Spirit inside us at this point. He guides us and directs us, but only if we listen. We have to listen. Now growing up, they never really told us some of the stuff that I find in the Bible, and that it's not an easy life to be a Christian. You know, to be a true Christian and living a godly life is not easy. And it's very, very easy to just step back and say no. You know, the Holy Spirit is really gonna convict you. The conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Any guilt comes from Satan. But the conviction is what spurs you on. All right? You get convicted of all kinds of things. It's not like when you get saved, God says, clean everything out. We're start, you know, he prunes. He says, after you get saved, that thing you're doing over here, yeah, that's not good. That's not godly. Cut it off. That's pruning. That allows you to grow that much further. And God continues to prune. That's not good. Chop that out of your life. Get rid of that. Grow, remain in the vine. He prunes you so that you grow, so that you can do more. He fills you full of knowledge. By reading the Word of God, we get that knowledge, and it's almost like it's imprinted on us. Like I was saying, the Word of God is also is almost like the mind of God imprinted on here. And they are living words. They tell us all the time to read our Bibles, and it's hard to explain until you actually do. Otherwise, it's just reading a book, you know, that's really old. As young a guy, I was thinking that it's just an old book, you know. It's how is this going to help me? Well, you have to read it. You have to get into it. And there's no man alive other than Jesus who has ever completely understood this. You will never understand this completely. How could we ever understand the mind of God completely? You know, all we're called to do is to walk that walk, to travel that road, and he walks it with us. We don't have to do this alone. He's always there with us. He goes before us. He's our rear guard. He's above us and surrounding us. He protects us. How many things that we get protected from we don't even know about? Because you know that Satan just wants to wipe us all off the map. And God allows sometimes that things like that to happen. But we follow through. We keep on that path that we go. So it's not an easy life. We get pruned and we get clipped. And Jesus says that, I mean, he suffered. We know that. So if he's the leader, if he's Lord and he suffered, we're going to suffer too. We're not immune to that. A life of suffering is almost a gift to God. I give you my life. It's not going to be easy. It's not a simple path. But I do it to glorify my Father, to glorify God. That's my life of suffering. That popped up, it said, the only thing you can give God is yourself. And that's it, you know? Yeah, I cannot give this message to you and it comes alive, you know? No, the Holy Spirit takes the message, sticks it in you and says, wake up. And that's it, you know? I mean, these words are just words until the Holy Spirit makes them alive. So we are called to persevere and press on. I mean, just, you know, Paul says that in Philippians. He says, I press on towards the goal. And his goal is essentially just walking that path with God, doing everything that God wants him to do, to reach as many people as he possibly could, and then one day stand before God and say, I did everything I could, you know, and have something to offer to the Creator, that you know, we have nothing else. So our perspective must be to always keep our eyes on God in this path. It's very easy to get stuck in a lot of other things. Now, what happens if we do not remain in Jesus? What happens if we decide we're going to walk our own path? Because a lot of Christians, they profess to be Christians, and we never really know if they're saved or not. We never really know. How do you know? Well, God says we know them by their fruit. When last week the pastor says we must all test and examine ourselves, this is another indicator. Are we truly saved? Do we have godly fruit? Do we impact people for God? When we speak, is it a blessing to people or does it discourage them? Do we help? Do we help to grow? Do we bear each other's burdens or do we tear each other down? This is a good indicator. And I believe that we all need to examine ourselves, because the thing about the truth, if it's not the truth, it's a lie, and we can lie to ourselves easily. And I did that for a long time when I was younger. So verse 4 and 5 say that you're going to be fruitless if you do not remain in Jesus. Verse number 2 is, it says, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So if you decide you're going to be fruitless and not live a life for God, he's telling you, he's going to cut you off. I don't even know what all that completely means, but verse 6 says, those that don't bear fruit are like branches that wither and die. And men, the King James Version says, men pick them up and throw them into the fire. So I don't know if it means that God's going to throw you into the fire, but what it means is that without remaining in the vine, without remaining in Jesus Christ, we wither and die. What is a Christian without Christ? It's what is a branch that's attached, but it's not attached. It's a dead branch, good for nothing but throwing into the fire and burn. Now, the message that, as I sat there last week, really came across to me is that we need to be intentional and we need to pursue God. We need to pursue Jesus in our lives. We can't just sit back and wait for God to do things. Well, I mean, you can, but how much more can you do if you are active, if you are just, you know, God wants to be pursued. He wants you to want to do things for him. He wants you to have the desire within you, to have just this passion within you. What did Jesus say when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your, I'm going to get it right, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That is passion. That is loving God with everything you have. Just seeking God daily. Come alive in my life. Holy Spirit, flow through me that I may affect people for you, that I may glorify you, that my life is an example. And this is something I'm struggling with because I can't articulate exactly what it means. But it means that not only is Jesus the foundation for your life, but he is the central and absolute goal of your life. He's the main ingredient in what makes you you. He is the, when you wake up in the morning, you think about Jesus. When you go to sleep at night, you think about Jesus. And I don't know how else to describe it, but everything that we do, the Bible says, no matter whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you're doing, do all for the glory of God. Do everything that you do thinking, what can I do for Jesus today? What can I do for Jesus this moment? Oftentimes, I mean, I'm just a guy that builds showers and puts floors down, but when I do that, I set a standard for my life that I'm going to build this not for this person, but I'm going to build this for God. That when people look at me and I claim to be a Christian, they say, well, he has a standard that he built things. And it sounds strange, but it's a godly standard. It's something that I pour myself into to do the best possible job that I can do. And that's just the place where God placed me. That's where he created me to want to do those things and created the opportunities to where I could build those things. And I go into people's homes and I get the opportunity to talk to them about God. If I could just sometimes get out of my own way, you know, speak with boldness and be brave and just encourage. You know, if I get to work on a Christian's house, we get to encourage each other. And sometimes I end up like the whole day is gone because all we're doing is talking about God and ministries and things like that. But what's more important? What's more important in this life than living the life for Jesus? You can live a life for, I got the house, I got the car, and we do that, and I need a job, you know, that fits that. Or you can live this life for Jesus. And at the end, when we get to stand before God, are we going to be able to say, I had the good house, you know, I got the car. Look, it's a Lexus. Woohoo! You know? That's all going to get burned up. It's gone. It's for nothing. And I'm going to say, here's my car. Where did it go? Oh, it burnt up. But I have this. I have the life that I live for you, Jesus. Well, how many things can we really look at in our life and say, this here, this moment, I can truly give this to Jesus because this moment right here is what I sacrificed for him. If we could apply that principle to everything that we do in our day, in our life, what would that look like? What would we be left with? How many moments in our life really mattered? Really mattered for Jesus instead of just stuff we did? You know? Because a lot of times we do a lot of things that just, they relax us. I'm going to go home and unwind. I'm going to crash. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm going home and crashing for Jesus. That's, you know, but that replenishes me so that I can continue to live my life for Jesus at that point. But a lot of things that we love to do become replacements. You know, they become, I like football and I like to work. Even my work can become a replacement for Jesus if I focus on that instead of Jesus. You know, I don't know. I get a little tongue-tied in trying to really articulate because I know it's within me and I know it's there and I know that's the message that I wanted to bring, that everything we do all to the glory of God. Every moment of every day, every person we speak to as a representative of Christ. How can I reach that person? How can I impact that person and live? And will get the Holy Spirit to work through me to reach that person? You know, people are watching us. Our children are watching us. They listen to us, but they're also learning from us how to be, how to live. When your children watch you pray with your wife, which I'm trying to do more of myself, well, they say that's the way a marriage is supposed to be, centered around Jesus, focused around Jesus. And in our marriages, we seek ourselves. What can they do for me? No, but if you're both focused on Jesus, Jesus tells you to love others. You focus on Jesus and he spreads love to love each other. I suppose what I really want to leave you with today is make Jesus the central part of your life. Don't worry about anything else. All these other things. God is infinite in his power and his glory and his majesty and all that he can do for you. And he wants to do that for you. But he's not going to give you all these things if it's going to destroy you. He won't do that. He tells you to ask whatever it is. If you remain in him, and he will give it to you. But people read into that and they say, God's going to give me whatever I want. All I have to do is pray. But that's how it goes. God's not going to do whatever you want. What's going to happen is if you pursue Jesus in your life, if you seek him out, he will change your heart. He will change the desires of your heart. And when you truly become a person that seeks after Jesus and God's glory, then all you will desire is to do that. And then God will give you whatever you want. So God will change you. There's another passage in here that I wanted to speak on. It's in Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. When he's talking to the church of Laodicea. And I feel that this particular passage fits all the churches I've grown up in. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what I feel that God is telling us when we are these wishy-washy Christians. We are neither convicted. We don't want to say we're of the world. And we don't want to say we want to say we're of God, but our actions tell the world that we are not. We're like a light bulb that's not plugged into the source. We shine no light. People can look at us and say, I can't tell that was a Christian. And that, to me, is what the world has looked at as Christianity. Is a lot of light bulbs that aren't plugged in. We claim to be something, but we don't shine at all. We don't exude the Word of God. We don't just proclaim it in everything that we do, in everything that we say. And I don't know if it's because the country we live in, we have so much. I don't know the complete reason. We see all these things we have, and that's what he tells the church of Laodicea. You say you're rich, but you have nothing. You're poor. We need to be intentional in our relationship with Jesus. We need to make him the focal point and the center point of all of our lives. We need to seek him out every moment of every day. Only then can we truly be what God wants us to be. Because a Christian can only be something if he has Christ. If he remains in the vine, in Jesus, that's how we become strong. Otherwise, we wither and we die. And that's my message today. So if you would all just pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message and I thank you for this congregation. I ask, Father, that you just make this message come alive in their lives. And the reality of it is that we have no life if it's not lived for you. That as Christians, we're set apart, we're different. We're not the same anymore. We're walking with you. We're not walking alone. We're not of the world. We're of you. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to just open the eyes and warm the hearts. That we would all learn to live each moment of every day for you.